So Impassion 130, you know, is a fascinating trial, now published and updated and led to FDA approval of the combination. It enrolled patients who had triple negative breast cancer that were at least a year out from their adjuvant or neoadjuvant taxane chemotherapy. Patients were randomized to receive nab-paclitaxel with placebo or nab-paclitaxel with atezolizumab. We used 100 milligrams per meter squared, 3 weeks on, 1 week off. And I really feel that was a critical decision because when we made that decision as a group, there was a lot of interest in using higher doses of nab-paclitaxel, 125 milligrams per meter squared. The problem with that is that you get a lot of neuropathy and patients sort of fall off. They can't continue the treatment. So I'm really pleased that we chose the 100 milligram per meter squared for this metastatic trial. The endpoints are interesting because there was a lot of interest in understanding whether PD-L1 positivity would make a difference in response to atezolizumab. So the primary endpoint was progression-free survival in the intent to treat arm. And if that was positive, looking at the PD-L1 subset population, along with overall survival and intent to treat, and then if that was positive, looking at the PD-L1 positive population.
Could I just clarify one thing? In terms of the percent of patients globally in this situation who have greater than 1%?
So we didn't know. I mean, that was the thing. You know, who knew?
But what do we know
we
now?
We didn't have exactly that trial population, so we know now. And it was 41% of the trial population that had immune cells that were at least 1% positive for PD-L1 using the Ventana SP142 assay.
So most patients did not?
Most patients did not, 60%, which is why it's so incredibly important that we're pursuing these sort of combinations of immune agonists with checkpoint inhibitors. But not only that, that we're moving the treatment earlier in the course of therapy because it may not actually matter as much if you have PD-L1 positive disease in the neoadjuvant setting or adjuvant setting. And we're going to learn a lot more about that in the next, actually very short time period, based on a press release suggesting that patients had a better PCR from a phase 3 trial using pembrolizumab in the neoadjuvant setting, regardless of PD-L1 positivity, using a different assay, I'll point out. An assay which marks most tumors as PD-L1 positive.
But just to clarify, though, in terms of the actual overall results of the study, as well as the results within the 1% population, in terms of hazard ratios and absolute differences, progression-free survival, response rate, survival.
Well, so, you know, I think that in this trial, probably the absolute differences are more important to us than the hazard ratios. What we saw was something fascinating to me, had been seen in other diseases, actually, with immune therapy, and was part of the reason why patients could not be unblinded in the trial. So even after their disease progressed, they couldn't be unblinded because the hypothesis was that immune therapy might impact survival more than it impacted progression-free survival. It's actually fascinating that in the Cleopatra trial, we saw that. Big PFS difference, but actually almost 3 times greater difference in overall survival. And again, you know, we know HER2-targeted therapy has an immune effect as well. So the idea is that you change the tumor microenvironment, and so subsequent therapies work better, and you live longer, even though potentially you don't have a much longer disease control rate with the first-line therapy. So we saw that in PASSION. Fascinating. The difference in progression-free survival, I remember when we first saw that data, the difference in progression-free survival in the intent-to-treat population was less than 2 months. Significant, but, you know, really using an expensive drug, potential toxicities, is it worth it? Then we looked at the PD-L1 positive population, and that was more impressive with its difference that was in the 2.5-month range. So, you know, maybe more worthwhile treating patients. But then when we looked at overall survival, no significant difference in the whole population intent-to-treat. By the original design, then you wouldn't look at the PD-L1 positive population. But of course, you have that data. So you look, and it was a 10-month difference, striking, something we don't see by chance. And the FDA actually agreed with that. And that data led to the approval for patients who have PD-L1 positive disease. In longer follow-up, that was just the first interim analysis. At the second interim analysis that was recently presented, we saw a difference of 7 months in overall survival. There is no other therapy that has that impact in triple-negative metastatic breast cancer. Unfortunately, it was only seen in the PD-L1 positive population. It's fortunate in that it's more precision medicine. We can identify the group that benefits. Unfortunate in that there's 60% of patients who don't have PD-L1 positive disease, where we need to keep looking for ways of improving response to immune therapy.